Amen. You can be seated. Children, kindergarten through sixth grade, making their way to Children's Church, kindergarten through sixth grade. So glad to see you all. Y'all having a good morning so far? We got like three of you. I'm so glad. Y'all keep throwing me off. Y'all switching services. Some of you come in second. That's okay. I don't mind that at all. I am just glad to see you. I'm glad that you're here. And I'm glad to know that God's about to do something in His Word for some of us. He's going to set us free from some guilt and shame that several of us have carried. And He's also, I believe, going to set us free from some things that have just been on us that we've been carrying for a long time. We're going to talk about how God heals today. Amen. And when we say God heals, we're not just talking about God healing physically, although that's going to be kind of where we're focusing, but we're also talking about how God heals in every aspect of our lives. Okay, He heals in all parts. He heals us physically, He heals us financially, mentally, emotionally, He heals relationships. God heals. Now, as we focus in on how He heals physically, just understand this is what He does outwardly, but really what He's most concerned with is inwardly, that He would heal us spiritually. And we'll see this more in depth as we look. But we're going to be in Mark chapter 5 today. Actually, we're going to be all over the place. Man, I got a lot of scripture that we're going to be here and there. I know normally we stick with one place, but in order to understand how God heals and all the ways that He does heal, we need to make sure that we look at scripture, that it's not based on my opinion, right? Amen. That it's actually in God's Word. And so in Mark chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around Him while He was still by the lake. Man, this is important. We seek large crowds at this time in Jesus' life, just all around Him, anywhere He would go. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at His feet. He pleaded earnestly with Him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and alive. So Jesus went with him. Again, we see a large crowd followed and pressed all around Him. So we'll see this picture as He's trying to make His way. Just people everywhere, people running into Him, pushing against Him. Okay? And 25, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His cloak, because she thought, if I just touch His clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, I love what the disciples said. "You see the people crowded against you," His disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" They're like, "Are you crazy? Everybody's touching you." That's what they're saying. Everybody is. What do you mean? And 32, but Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at His feet, trembling with fear, told Him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." So what we see here is that first, God heals through our own faith, through our faith. That our faith in Jesus Christ, if you place your faith in Jesus, you place your faith in the Holy Spirit, God the Father, to heal you, you're not putting this in the wrong place. That our faith should first be placed, and most importantly be placed, in Jesus Christ for Him to heal us. This is in all aspects of our lives, even though we're looking again at the physical part. That in all aspects of our life, if we want healing, Jesus is the one we need to go to. I love what this woman said. If I could just touch Him. Just not even Him, but just His cloak. Just His clothes. If I could just get that close to Him, He has power. And I've tried everything else. She's at the end of herself, isn't she? She spent all her money. It says she spent all she had. She's gone to every doctor that she could go to, and none of them could help. In fact, it says she didn't get better, but she was getting worse. But then she placed her faith in Jesus Christ. And I love what he says. He says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And so our faith plays a major role in how God heals. We see when Jesus goes to his hometown, it says he didn't do many miracles there. Does anybody remember why? Because the people lacked what? Faith. He did very few miracles in his hometown because the people lacked faith in him. And so our faith in Christ can determine how we are healed. Because we have to get to the end of ourselves. If we place our faith in anything else, why would God heal us? He wants to heal us as we place our faith in him. In fact, our weaknesses, our sicknesses, our disease, all the things that are in our life that we would call that would cause damage, that we'd need to be healed from, those things show our desperate need for Jesus Christ. And so when we finally get to the end of ourselves and we can place our faith in him, then God can heal. Amen. Parents, I don't know if you've ever been that like that with your child. You want to help your child do something, like when they're first trying to learn to tie their shoes. Let me help you. I got it. Yeah. So you sit back and you know they don't have it. And what do? You just sit back and you wait, because you know eventually they're going to get tired of trying it and they're going to say what? Help me. They have to see their need. Because if you try to force, all you're going to do is hurt you, hurt them, hurt everybody. So in our sickness, in our weakness, God can then come and show us how much we need him. So God heals through our faith. We also have a story that helps us to understand this in Luke 5. It says, it tells a story and it shows us that God doesn't only heal through our faith, but God heals through the faith of those who love us. There's a man who was desperate to be healed. Couldn't walk. And so his friends gathered him up. He couldn't make it to Jesus. Even after he has placed his faith, if he would have placed his faith, if I could just touch his clothes, he couldn't make it to him. He couldn't make his way through the crowd. The only way he could get to Jesus is if his friends carried him. And so they did. And they got there and everybody's blocking the way and they can't get through. So y'all remember what they did? Come on, y'all know this. They did what? They tore the roof off. That's right. And let him down. They tore the roof off and let him down. And so look at what it says in Luke 5 and verse 20. When Jesus saw they had faith. Hold on. When Jesus saw that they had faith, the faith not of this man, but the faith of the friends. When Jesus saw that they had faith, he spoke to the man. He said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, hold on, the Pharisees get all worked up about this, saying, "Who can forgive sins?" And they're making a big deal out of it in 21 and in 22. But in 23, Jesus says, "Okay." He says, "Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he spoke to the man who could not walk. "I tell you," he said, "get up, take your mat, and go home." Amen. Right away, the man stood up in front of them. Could you imagine? Stood up in front of them. He took his mat, went home praising God. And so first we have God heals through our faith, that we have faith in Jesus Christ, that we have faith that he can heal us, that we have faith that he can do what's impossible, what no one else can do and what we can't do. But God also heals because of the faith of other people, those people who love us in our lives. This is why we ask other people to pray for us when we're going through hard situations, because the faith of our friends also can move mountains. And so here, God, Jesus says, I saw their faith. And now I want you to see this. You remember what we said? God wants to heal us spiritually. In fact, God wants to heal us spiritually before he heals us any other way. Because really, if you want to think about it, this body is temporary, is it not? That we're in. I mean, eventually we're going to die. We have to die. I mean, that's our destiny. For man wants to die and then the judgment. Unless he comes and he calls us up at the second coming, but we are going to die. So his first concern is us spiritually. What did he do for the man first? The first thing he did, he says, your sins are forgiven. He gave him forgiveness. He started a relationship with him. He became the mediator between him and God. All the things that we've been talking about for the past year, this is what Jesus did first. This is most important. God will destroy us physically if it will save us spiritually. And you're like, that's harsh. But it's temporary. Spiritual is permanent. And so he may destroy us temporarily in order to save us permanently. Man, I say that's a good deal, don't you? Parents, again, we get this. You remember the old saying, this is going to hurt you worse than it hurts me? And sometimes that's true. Not all the time, but sometimes that's true. And when those times are true, and you really don't want to discipline, and grandparents, y'all really don't want to discipline, it breaks your heart. You get mad at the parents. I hear you all the time. I can't believe you're whipping that baby. Okay? Isn't that true? Doesn't matter what they did. Because it hurts you worse than it hurts them. But what we understand is a temporary pain in order to achieve a more permanent outcome. And in this life, first, God is concerned with us spiritually. Now, he may destroy us physically to reach us spiritually, but that's his first concern. But here, he reached this man spiritually, healed him spiritually, and then healed him physically. Can you imagine the Pharisees as they're watching? Who's this guy think he is? Think he can forgive sin? He said, what's easier? He says, all right, get up and walk. And not just get up and walk, but get up and take your bed. Like, let's not just take a few steps. Like, he didn't say, get up and take a few steps to see how you're doing. You know, that's how we do, you know. We're slow about it. Let's make sure we're all right. You know, it's kind of like getting up out of the bed once you get a little bit older. You can't just hop up anymore, can you? You got to kind of lean over a little bit, let the blood circulate a little bit, don't you? You jump up too far, you're going to land on your head, on your face. And so he didn't tell him that. He just said, get up and carry your bed. Go. Instantly the man got up because of the faith of his friend. And so what we're seeing in this picture is that really, yes, God is concerned with us physically and he wants to heal us physically, but and look, he wants to set us free from suffering. These are true, but he will allow us to suffer in order for us to be made well spiritually, but he can heal us through our faith and through the faith of our friends. God also heals through medicine. Man, I'm so glad that God gave us all the things that he's given us on this earth, aren't you? Like, anybody glad for caffeine this morning? That's a drug, okay? That's a drug. Y'all glad about it? Yeah. Anybody glad for a little bit of sugar? Yeah, that's a drug too. That'll get you going. And so we have all these things on the earth that God has given us to help us. Medicine, if used correctly, that's the key. Anything can be abused, can't it? Yeah. Money can be abused way worse than drugs sometimes, can't it? But we never get on anybody about trying to get more money. Okay, the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say the love of drugs is the root of all evil. And so we got to be careful with this. So it's not what it is, it's how we use it. If it's used correctly. In fact, you're like, where does it say that in the Bible? Proverbs 31 is often looked at for the Proverbs 31 woman. You ever, most Mother's Days, you usually looked at, and it talks about how great this woman is. But, and women are great, okay? But above that, there's this little section, Proverbs 31, 6 and 7. And this is probably a verse that you don't hear read in church very often, because it says, let beer be for those who are dying. Yeah, when's the last time you heard that in church? Look, some of you just went, what? Let wine be for those who are sad and troubled. What? Let them drink and forget how poor they are. Let them forget their suffering. Anybody heard a sermon on that one? I'm just checking. I'm just looking. So today's the first? Yes. All right. So go back. Let beer be for those who are dying. Let wine be for those who not are dying, but just sad and troubled. And why? So they forget how poor they are. Let them get drunk so they can forget their suffering. Sounds like a country song. But what it's looking to, you know, they didn't have the development of all the types of medicines that we have now. Like alcohol is like one of the main things that they had. That's like one of the only really drug-type medicines. There were some other things, but this is the most common. This is the one that they could have. If those who are dying, this makes sense. No one who's dying should suffer. No one who's dying should suffer. And then it says, let wine be for those who are sad or troubled. Sad or troubled. You ever had a time in your life that was just too much for you? A little overwhelming? Something that caused just a little too much anxiety in your life? Here it's saying in those times, for them at this time, drinking is a way to forget that trouble for maybe a moment. For us, we have better things. We have better medicines that can help with anxiety. Some of you in here, you may have carried for a long time this burden because you're having to take some kind of anxiety medicine because sometimes life just gets too much for you. What we see in Scripture right here is God provided those things so that we could be healed through what He created. And you don't have to feel bad about that. There are times in my life that are a little overwhelming. I take a little something. Legal. Just letting you know, legal. Comes in a short bottle, not the big long neck either. Just putting that out there. But you got to have a little something sometimes. Maybe there's something not quite right going on because we live in a fallen world. Yes? And maybe there's not something quite right chemically in your mind. And you're like, well, should I take medicine? Well, God made all these things so that we could learn how to use those things so that He could use those to heal us. It's the same way as if I had a little problem with my heart, I don't have a problem taking a little medicine for my heart. Or if I have a headache today, I'm going to go take a Tylenol or ibuprofen. Some of y'all swear by those, don't you? Eat them like candy. You're going to take something like that. Medicine God put here on the earth for us, as long as they are used correctly, it's okay. You don't have to walk around with burden. In fact, 1 Timothy 5:23, now this is one that's often talked about, but it's used. It's actually taken out of context a lot. It says, well, I shouldn't take it out of context. They just add to it. I'll explain. 1 Timothy 5:23, it says, stop drinking only water. Which is good for me because I like tea and I like Sprite. I mean, but that's not what it's talking about. You got to keep it all together. Stop drinking only water. If your stomach is upset, drink a little wine. It can also help other sicknesses you often have. A lot of times people are like, they only drink for medicine. They're saying if you drink it strongly for medicine. You ever heard it has to pass through a spoon? Never heard that? If it passes through a spoon, it's okay. So just get a bigger spoon. Don't really. I'm just. Stop drinking. Why? Because at the time the water source wasn't very good. It could be have some of it could have something in it. A little alcohol. You drink a little alcohol, you can clean up the water. You can kill things that are in the water. And not only that, but you drink a little water, you could kill some things that growing in your stomach. Drink a little wine, you can kill some stuff growing in your stomach. This goes against. You ever heard somebody say the alcohol they had back then wasn't really fermented? Well, this goes against that. Alcohol they had was fermented. And our Jesus drank fermented wine. He made some one time at a wedding. In fact, it's his first miracle, public miracle. But what we see here is that it was, in this case, medicine. And anything that God has given us, if used correctly, the same as if you drink alcohol, if used correctly, is not a sin. In fact, here for medicine and doctors and surgeries and anything else, because I know some people reject medicine and surgery and God will heal me. Why do you think he made that plant that helps you with your heart? Why do you think he designed that other kind of fungus or whatever it is that's going to help you with whatever kind of things going on in your mind? Why do you think he did that? He had us in mind when he created everything. He's like, they're going to need this one day. They're going to need this one day. And so God heals through our faith in him. God heals through the faith of those who love us. God heals through medicine. And God heals through grace. This is one that's a little bit different. And here's what happens. God heals our attitude and not our sickness. What do you mean? For 2 Corinthians 12, Paul's writing, talking about a sickness that he has. And he says in verse 8, he says, three times I begged. He didn't just say ask. Look at the word, I begged the Lord to take it away from me. Three times I asked him to take the sickness away from me. But he said to me, God said, my grace is all you need. My power is strongest when you are weak. So I'm very happy to brag about how weak I am. Then Christ's power can rest on me. Sometimes God heals us mentally, spiritually, to understand that the sickness reveals our weakness so that we, again, can look to him for our strength. So that we can look to him for strength. In fact, Paul says this is a messenger from Satan to keep him humble. Had something to keep him humble. Do you have something that keeps you humble? Does God have this thing in your life? You just want it to be conquered, but it just keeps coming back, and it just reminds you of how much you need him? Man, I got that. And I'm like, God, why don't you just slay that thing? Why don't you just kill that thing? He's like, I'll give you the power to walk in your weakness. I will give you the power to walk in your weakness. So not every time is he going to look. He's going to say, get up and walk. Sometimes he's going to look and say, you're going to lay there, but my grace is greater than your weakness. My grace is greater than your inability to walk. Not every time is the testimony going to be, I was blind, but now I see. Sometimes it's going to be, I'm blind and I'm still physically blind, but the grace of God give me eyes to see Christ. Sometimes it's going to be a change of heart, a healing of our heart. So God's going to heal through grace, changing our mind, our spirit, our heart. And then sometimes God heals through death. This is the hardest one for us as believers. especially in the culture that we live in now, that says if you name it, God will do it, and if he doesn't, you don't have faith. I'm sorry, but you have Paul that said, I begged 3 times and God said no. I'm not even going to compare myself to Paul. And Paul had faith. And yet God still said, my grace. And the truth is, we said that this body is temporary. Y'all with me? And therefore we are meant to die. In fact, as we grow older and as our bodies break down, it reveals more and more of our weakness, and it allows us to see our need for Him. And the more our bodies break down, the more we start to long for our true home. You ever been on vacation somewhere and everything's going great and your mind is active and it's just, man, you have the best food and you have activity here and here and here, but then all of a sudden everything kind of slows down. And when it slows down, even though everything's great on vacation, all you can think is, I'm ready to get home. Sometimes our body, or not sometimes, every time our body breaks down and slows us down, it starts to show us the consequences of sin on this earth, and it starts to cause us to long to be home. Paul did that. He says, man, I long to be with Christ. It shows us the consequences. And therefore, if that's true, God can't always heal because we have to die so that we can enter into our true rest. 1 Corinthians 15, I think, tells us this best. In 53, it says, our natural bodies don't last forever. Amen. Come on. We must be dressed with what does last forever. What dies must be dressed with what does not die. In fact, that's going to happen. Like, you can't stop it. What does not last will be dressed with what lasts forever. What dies will be dressed with what does not die. Then what is written will come true. It says, death has been swallowed up. It has lost the battle. Death, where is the victory you thought you had? Death, where's your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But let us give thanks to God. He gives us the, what's the word? Victory, because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. Victory? What were we talking about? We're talking about death, and this scripture is talking about victory. That God gives us victory in our death. He sets us free. He heals us. He renews what is corrupted, what's mortal, what won't last forever, and He heals it and gives us immortality. He gives us what won't get sick, won't die, what won't be weak. He heals us in that. And sometimes when we pray, and there may be somebody that you have been praying for or somebody you prayed for in the past, and you're like, I prayed, I had faith, and people around them had faith, and God didn't heal them. And I would say in that case, God had told them in their heart, if they are a follower of Him, my grace is sufficient. And now what we learn is they aren't living in death. They were set free from death. They're living in victory. That God healed them, but He healed them in a way that you may not like, but He still did it. The same way the Pharisees got all upset and angry when Jesus would heal on the Sabbath. Who does He think He is healing on the Sabbath? What does He think He's doing? It may not be the way that you want it to be done, but really death is the best healing. Because if He heals me today, I'm going to get sick in a few weeks. Think about poor old Lazarus. Can you imagine him in the grave for a while? Now, we don't know what happened to his spirit and where he was. We're not sure. But what if he's, because there's like some speculation. There's even a song about it. Old gospel. You remember that gospel song? Where he's talking about he's in heaven, and then all of a sudden he, in the middle of it, you hear, Lazarus, come forth. And he's like, no, I don't want to go. And so, but if he is in heaven, And Jesus is calling. The only reason he would want to leave heaven is so he could be with his Savior. That's the only thing that would be greater. The only reason he would leave paradise, Abraham's bosom, is to be with his Jesus. But Lazarus didn't walk on this earth today, is he? Have y'all seen him around anywhere? Jesus called him from the grave, but he died again. What about the woman who had the blood issue? Jesus healed her. Y'all seen her? She died a long time ago. God can heal physically, but there will be a time that he doesn't heal and we die, and the ultimate healing is through death. The ultimate victory is when we take our last breath. Amen. That's the ultimate victory. And so if you've been here and you've been mad at God because God took that person that you love, God took the one you prayed, but he still took this one. They had their faith in Jesus Christ, like this man who was lame. He says, your sin is forgiven. They have victory. And they are more alive today than they have ever been. Like, why does God heal physically than ever? For his glory. For his glory. For his love for us, but ultimately for his glory. You know, I think that a lot of times God doesn't heal because we explain it away if he does. It's really weird that way. Sometimes we start praying, God, will you heal me? Will you heal me? God, heal me. We had an x-ray, and this showed up on the x-ray, and we're praying, and then we go back in a few weeks, and it's not there, and then we come back, and we start telling everybody, yeah, I had an x-ray, but the x-ray was messed up. They messed up on the x-ray. It was taken the wrong way. And now it was never there. We explain it away. I would say at the very least is what we do. Be like the blind man. He goes, all I can tell you is one thing. I was blind here. I met Jesus. And now I see. How it happened? I can't tell you. For his glory. I think in some ways, if we learn something today with this, that our faith must increase in Jesus Christ, that our faith must increase for those that we love, that when we're talking about medicine and God healing through medicine, that we give him credit even if we are healed through medicine or surgery, because that is God's healing. Okay, that we healed through that. That God heals through grace, that he changes our mind and our heart, and that God heals through death. And in all these things, the key factor is that we have faith that God heals. That no matter what happens, and I quote those Hebrew boys all the time because they made such an incredible statement. I know God can heal me from cancer. I know God will heal me from cancer. And even if he doesn't, you just know this, cancer, I will be set free from you.
Amen.
I will be set free from you. Now, we started with this story, and this sitting on the board, but y'all remember how we started reading over here in Mark 5? Jesus just got off the boat, and old Jairus came up and said, I've got a little daughter. And she's sick. We almost forgot about him, didn't we? Because on his way to see Jairus' daughter, he met the woman who was bleeding. We're celebrating the whole idea that God had healed her, that God had stopped. Jesus stopped. But if you read the rest of the story in 35, it says this. While Jesus was speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead. Poor Jairus, can you imagine? I come to get Jesus. I have faith in you, Jesus. I know you can heal. My daughter's sick. Will you just come with me and touch her and heal her? The same idea that this woman with the bleeding had, right? If I could just touch, just come and touch. And Jesus says, okay, let's go. And they're on their way. And then somebody touches him. Jesus says, hold on, wait a minute. We got to stop. Can you imagine poor old Jairus? What are you doing? We got to go. Come on. You healed her already. We got to go. Let's go. Sometimes we look around at all the things that God's doing for everybody else. And we're sitting here going, when's my miracle going to show up? When's my miracle going to be here? Jesus, stop talking to all these people. You're just talking. We got to go. Can you imagine his heart and his mind? He has his faith. There's hope. There's hope. And then he hears you. She's dead. Where does your hope go then? Verse 36, Jesus says something that is, I'm hoping it's seared into my mind and my heart for a long time. 36, it says, Jesus heard what they were saying. And he told Jairus this. Listen to what he said. In whatever situation you're in, I want you to hear this. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just believe. Oh my goodness. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Wherever you are, whatever's going on, whatever needs to be healed in your life, if it's physical, if it's spiritual, if it's emotional, if it's financial, whatever it is, God would say, you put Him first, you put your trust in Him, you come to Him and say, Jesus, come, touch this situation. And even if it looks like it's dead, Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. Now Jesus shows up over there to Jairus' house and he says, why are y'all all so sad? He says, she's just asleep. Scripture, my translation says they laughed at him. You ever been laughed at for having faith that God can raise the dead? He said, she's just asleep. And Jesus raised her and said, her from the dead. Because of the faith of her father. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Here's what I'd say. Some of us have worried. And we're anxious. And we've tried. Like this poor woman here. We've gone to every person we can think of that can help us. We've gone through all the effort. The poor lady, she'd spent all of the money she had. And nothing was better. Some of you are at that place, you're at the worst. It's supposed to get better. And now it's worse. God, what are you doing? God, I came to you about my daughter, and you were supposed to touch her, and now it's too late. I guess you have two reactions. You can laugh and be like, God can't. He do those things, or he won't do those things anymore. Yes, he does, and he will. And sometimes God heals instantly, like we saw several times here, and then sometimes God heals over a long period of time. It's according on what's best for us. It's all according on what would cause us to lean on him more, what would cause us to have a deeper relationship with him. There's nothing like sickness and tragedy to bring meaning to worship, is there? A meaning to prayer. You're in the middle of a tragedy, all of a sudden those prayers mean a whole lot more than whenever you were living in bliss. There's something about being desperate. Gives us a longing that makes us finally understand how important Jesus is. And here's what I would say for us today, wherever you are, this is my challenge for you. That you would give up on yourself and you rely absolutely 100% with everything, rely on Jesus. Give up on myself. Scripture says, deny yourself and take up your cross. And if God chooses that you suffer for today, tomorrow, and until you take your last breath, be like Paul and say, thank you, Lord, for this suffering, because it causes me to see my weakness, and I will brag in your strength. And there's so much, and it's so deep, and it's so meaningful, the idea of suffering and healing and walking, and man, there's so much. It's not just as simple as some people, you're well and you're sick. There's so much more there. Church, I'm going to ask that you would stand, and there's some of you that we may not even know it. You need a healing. Either you need God to heal you physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. There's somebody in your life that you need to have a healing. Some of you, God saying today, my grace is sufficient. My power is enough. Some of you, they're overwhelmed by your sickness, and I would ask that you would be overwhelmed by the love of Christ today. And that you would come to the altar and you would fall at the feet of the healer, of our Christ. If I could just touch your garment, and there's some of us that need to be that friend that just surrounds them and prays for them and puts our hands on them, and we're the ones lowering them down to see Christ, and because of our faith, God does a work. But I feel healing starting to happen now in people's lives and their hearts. I'm going to get out of the way, because God's doing way more than I could ever do talking. Lord Father, I thank you. I pray that you would just flood this place with your mercy and your grace in situations where we've never seen your mercy and grace before. That we would long for you. We would make our way through the crowd, We would tear roofs off buildings. We would beg you. We'd be thankful that you have given us wisdom and knowledge, and you've created so many things that we would give you credit for the healings that we've had in our lives, that we would say, I was blind, but now I see. Jesus, you are my healer. Church, you respond as the Spirit leads you. The altar's open.